south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, the seminar is over, and everyone's gone home. Well, I take that back. Some people decided they're never going to go home, and I don't blame them. They're in Guatemala and Salvador right now, hanging out. Getting that plan B underway, the big advantage they have now is they've got a network to lean on. But you knew that already, right? Oh, and of course, at the seminar, lots of things happen. Crazy and amusing things, too. Like, for example, I was sitting at the pool one night in a little resort in El Salvador. It was me alone sitting at the pool around 11:30 at night. All the seminarians passed out in their rooms after drinking from the fire hose all day. And suddenly, this couple comes over, a married 50-something Latino couple. They sat down in the beach chairs right next to me. Right away, they recognized me as a gringo. They themselves had t-shirts on with English sayings on them. And the guy turns to me and says, in fairly good English, how you doing? Where'd you from? And we made with the pleasantries. Turns out he's living in New Jersey. He escaped El Salvador 30 years earlier, came across as an illegal, and through one of the frequent amnesty plans, got his green card and eventually his U.S. citizenship. Turns out he and his wife come down to El Salvador for 4 months a year to visit their relatives, hang out in the resorts and such. They've been doing that for years, ever since he got his green card. They come down during the winter months. They live up in New Jersey. And get this, and this is such a cliche, they own a lawn service. Anyway, we got to talking, and he started telling me how things are falling apart up in the U.S. Yeah, like, that's new news, right? He said he's got a big piece of land and is building a nice, big, upscale house in El Salvador. They're getting ready to retire, and when they do, they're not going back to the States. But one thing, he says, the property taxes on his house in New Jersey are $19,000 a year. But here's another thing. He said the business conditions up there stink. They weren't so great before COVID, but now they're even worse. Oh, and he told me something extremely sexist and racist if it had come out of my mouth, but he can get away with it because he's Latino, he said. He's the owner and boss of his lawn service company. His entire lawn crew of 20 people consists 100% of illegal aliens, and that's how he wants it. He said it's a lesson he's learned over the years by hiring all kinds of regular Americans and second and third generation Latinos, and he's found the illegals work the best. They work their asses off. They're glad to have the job, and they don't complain. And he said they don't take days off, and they show up on time. I guess mañana time doesn't translate north of the border all too well, huh? Anyway, then he said white guys, black guys, and second and third generation Latinos just don't have the same work ethic. They can't hack it. He said they like taking breaks, finding places to hide, and punching away on their cell phones more than they like to work. In fact, he said his own three kids, who were born in the States, don't have all that great a work ethic themselves. He said America made them soft. They prefer not to work, he said, and they love that free money that's been dished out to everyone during the pandemic. They got used to it. He sort of dreads the day his business will be turned over to one of his sons who he thinks in time will run it into the ground. And his other two kids, who both graduated from college with useless degrees, he said, they don't want anything to do with their dad's lawn care business. They're sort of embarrassed by it, he said. I mean, it is a cliche, right? Even though that business put food on the table, gave them a good house, a nice style of living, and paid for their college educations. In fact, he said one of his sons married an American gringa, and he never let on what his dad did for a living until they were engaged. Oh, and one more thing. He said he sort of knew many years earlier that America was slowly but surely going down the tubes. When he discovered that during those 4 months a year he'd always have off during the winter season, when there was no lawn service or yard work to be done, he could collect a big unemployment check for doing nothing. In fact, he said at first he used to feel guilty about taking that check because he didn't need it. He made plenty of dough during the rest of the year and didn't understand why people get paid in the United States for doing nothing. But he said you don't turn it down, so he's been taking that dough for the last 25 years, thinking every year when he'd cash those checks, something's got to give. More and more people are getting paid by the government for nothing. It just can't last, he thought. And that's why he kept sending remises down to his family in El Salvador, instructing them to put some of it into land. And like he said, with some sadness, he's been watching the USA deteriorate year over year, and he's moving with his wife when he retires in just a couple of more years to El Salvador, where he was born, where the weather's better, life is simpler, less complicated, less government, and much less expensive. Oh, and he said, they've got Walmart, Costco, Home Depot, and Amazon down here, too. That, he said, is what sold his wife on moving down. By the way, his wife is Puerto Rican. And when I asked her, why not Puerto Rico, she shook her head and said, everything that's going wrong with the United States has already gone wrong in Puerto Rico. And remember, she said, I was born with a U.S. passport. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory, you know, and citizens automatically get one. Anyway, I thought you might like that little boots on the ground story from a former illegal alien who made good up in the States. Now, you longtime listeners know how I can't help but comment when I hear an oddball or crazy-ass name, and I wonder what the hell their parents were thinking. That said, I got into a yellow airport taxi the other day, and, you know, they've got a little identification tag posted on the dashboard. This guy's name? Hercules Vasquez. I don't know, I think that's asking for trouble. It's kind of like naming your kid Superman or Samson. Imagine growing up with that name up in the States. Hercules. Kids are going to test you, especially bullies. And I did ask him, in Spanish, of course, because where I hang out in Latin America, I'm way off the gringo tourist trail where most people do not speak English. Anyway, I asked him if the name Hercules had caused him any grief throughout his life. He said, what do you mean? Like what? And I said, you know, other guys, especially when you were growing up, trying to test you. You know, Hercules, his dad was Zeus, so he's a demigod, superpowers and all that. And he said, no one messes with me. I'm a Golden Gloves champ. So he really didn't answer my question. But then again, I guess he did. But still, I have to say my favorite name for the month is, remember that taxi driver who picked me up? His name was Wanderer. W-A-N-D-E-R-E-R. You know, that's what you call an aptonym. You ever hear that term? A person is an aptonym when his name describes or is directly related to his career or choice of occupation. Like a brain surgeon named Dr. Stroke, dentist named Dr. Moeller, attorney named Slick, or a politician named Lizard or Dickhead. Those are aptonyms. I'm sure you've run into a few. But a taxi driver named Wanderer, not a good sign. All right, now an email from an Australian lady named Jackie. She says, dear Johnny, g'day. They always say g'day, even if it's night. Anyway, Jackie says, you always say that governments don't do anything right. They screw up everything they touch. The VA, the Army, the IRS, the welfare system, education department, Social Security. I agree with you, Johnny. They're all hopelessly broken in every which way and bankrupt too. But there are exceptions to every rule, and I found one here in Australia. Don't get me started on what a hopeless case Australia is, but they really seem to have done one thing right. You might remember, well, baby boomers do anyway, that back in the 70s and 80s, news sources were reporting that the ozone layer that protects the Earth, or more precisely humans, from too much UV sunlight, that ozone layer that we really don't hear too much about anymore, was deteriorating, and the worst place on Earth to be was Australia because there was a big hole in the ozone layer that seemed to be centered there. Even without a hole in the ozone, the sun is wicked in Australia. Because most Aussies are of Northern European, mostly British descent. Like me, she says. Most of us are dead white, and some of us even pinkish looking. After all, we were famously a British prison colony, you know. And you have to admit, the Brits and the Irish are pretty pasty looking. Anyhow, it was determined that because of this opening in the ozone layer, Australians had 4 times the worldwide average incidence of skin cancer. In fact, dermatologists are doing a land rush business. Everyone's got people in their own family who've had precancerous or even cancerous lesions burned off or removed by using that quick and dirty liquid nitrogen spray therapy. I had a few spots sprayed with nitrogen myself. Doesn't hurt a bit. But what doctors charge for that 1 minute treatment, it's a sin, says Jackie. Anyhow, before we go calling Australia a completely failed fascist state, I'm writing to tell you they may have done one thing right. Maybe. You see, with all that talk of the big hole in the ozone over Australia, the government decided to do something about it. So they set up sunscreen stations. Yep, they've got little pumps, dispensers, a lot like those COVID hand goop dispensers you'll see everywhere. Anyhow, on certain public beaches, you can walk right up and get yourself some free sunscreen, as much as you want. So you can skip the overpriced Hawaiian tropic stuff. and use the free stuff the government supplies. Yes, I know, nothing's for nothing. But this may just be the one and only case in history where government's actually done something right on the cheap and has benefited almost everyone. But you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and quite possibly that benevolent free sunscreen program isn't working out so well after all. There are some recent studies out there saying that sunscreen itself has carcinogens in it. Even so, and even if that benevolent program does work, one-third of Aussies will get skin cancer in their lifetime. And Johnny, one particular study says, because the sunscreen is free and you can get as much as you want, people slather way too much of that stuff on themselves. And if that stuff's carcinogenic, I think inquiring minds can see the problem. It's something akin to going to a party where there's an open bar. That's asking for trouble in Australia. Anyway, Johnny, missed your latest seminar due to the lockdown fascist COVID crap here. But come hell or high water, I'll be at your next one. So put me down and tell me how to send a deposit. P.S. What's the sun like down there in Latin America? Being that it is in the tropics, there has to be some kind of skin cancer problem there, too. All right, Jackie, thanks for that slightly unusual email. And yes, you're absolutely right. In Latin America, the sun is very strong. However, as you push on through South America and go further south through Argentina, Chile, etc., you get your four seasons back and the sun is not nearly as intense as you might think. But it's very intense in Central America, though it doesn't seem like it, especially in the Altiplano, where it feels much cooler. It's deceptive, though. When you're up a mile high, the air is thinner, and the sunlight's more penetrating, intense, and direct. So the air temperature could be at 70 or 75 degrees, perfectly comfortable. But when you're in the sun, it's intense, and you burn in a hurry without even realizing it. And Jackie, I've got exactly the kind of skin you're talking about. I've had 6 or 7 skin lesions treated with that nitrogen stuff myself, and it works fine. In a couple of weeks, they were all healed up and they were not problem areas any longer. Though, I do have to check in with a dermatologist every year or so. It's no big deal. In fact, I'm thinking about buying one of those little liquid nitrogen spray dispensers myself. I checked them out on Alibaba. The very same ones the dermatologists use are around $250. And any hospital supply company will charge it up for around $10 when you need a liquid nitrogen refill. If I were you, I wouldn't try it at home, but I just might. Remember, in a past life, amongst other things, I was a biomedical engineer. So I know a little bit more than the next guy about that kind of stuff. Of course, engineers do stupid things too. We like to wire things live without turning the power off. Hey, I've been shocked by live wires 100 times. Yep, engineers get overconfident and do that kind of stuff. We keep getting shocks, but we're used to it. We never learn. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So yes, if you're moving to Latin America, especially the Altiplano in Central America, you want to avoid the sun or protect yourself with sunscreen, hats, all that stuff. But oddly enough, there's almost no skin cancer in the Latino population because they're a little bit darker colored. They've got a certain amount of indigenous blood in them, so they've got the melanin to resist UV damage. But as for me and many other lily-white gringos, I personally avoid the sun as much as I can. And when I go to the beach resorts or beaches in general, never purposely lay out in the sun to get a tan. Oh, and by the way, when you're down here in Latin America and you spot a beet red gringo or gringa, that usually screams tourist or newbie gringo expat. Seems like every vacationing tourist wants to get a tan in the worst way and they overdo it because they're not used to how strong the sun really is. And as for long-time gringos and expats, they almost never stay out in the sun too long. You don't see them beet red. They know better. But we all somehow go through that trial by fire when we first get down here. Now, I don't personally avoid the sun completely. I like to power walk 5 miles, takes me about an hour, 5 days a week. I like to do it around 5 or 6 o'clock at night, right before the sun goes down. You know, the sun goes down in most of Latin America, specifically Central America, between 6 and 7 o'clock every night. Latin American countries do not follow daylight savings time because they're closer to the equator and the sun does not arc that much. So, unlike in the States, especially the northern parts like New York, Chicago, Detroit, Seattle, depending on the time of year, the sun could set at 4 or 8. But here in Latin America, especially Mexico down through to Colombia, the sun almost always sets between 6 and 7 o'clock at night. You can count on it. That's why I take my power walk between 5 and 6 at night. It's cooler, the sun's very low in the sky, so the UV light is minimal. It's not a problem. However, once in a while, when I'm on a mission to go to a bank or a store during the middle of the day, I'll combine it with a power walk. Even when the sun's high up in the sky and very intense. In that case, I'll carry a telescoping umbrella, you know, a shorty. Now, just a word about umbrellas. You might not think this is a big thing, but believe me, if you live down here in Latin America, you're going to need one. Remember, the rainy season is 6 months long. And I found personally, I just don't like those long, full-sized umbrellas. You know, the kind that double as a cane. They're just too big and bulky and inconvenient. I really like those shorty, telescopic umbrellas, but most of them are flimsy pieces of junk. Sure, they work all right for a while, but if you get a medium or high gust of wind, if it comes from the wrong angle, it'll blow your umbrella inside out. You know what I'm talking about. Sure, you get a soaker, but worse yet, your umbrella could be completely ruined because when it's whipped inside out like that, the umbrella support lattice often gets bent and broke or just completely deformed. I'm sure that over the years, I've gone through at least 20 shorty umbrellas, and most of them ended up in the junk heap after just a few big rains. I've left or forgotten a lot of them in parks and restaurants, too. Oh, well. And, you know, for a while before Amazon, I'd get pissed off at the poor selection of umbrellas. They were always junk. I'm talking about what was available locally in the stores. However, when Amazon first started delivering to those mailboxes in Miami and I could get the stuff within a week, I actually ordered the top 6 rated telescopic umbrellas, according to some Consumer Reports page on the internet. That was a couple of years ago now. I got them and put them through the test. And one, just one of those 6 umbrellas stood out from all the rest. It's the only one that did not fail after many uses and heavy storms and rains. And there was an actual physical difference. They all looked the same, but this one particular umbrella was much heavier than the rest. And I thought, man, there's some substance here. In fact, I've come to think of it as a hell of a good defensive weapon, too. Not that I felt any particular danger of being assaulted or robbed while walking. That's never happened to me. But believe me, when you're holding the handle of that umbrella, you know if you whooped someone upside the head with that thing, they'd be out cold. Good to know, eh, ladies? So in effect, it does give you a little measure of confidence just walking with it. And it's small, totally comfortable in your hand, and only about maybe 14 inches long. Again, I don't make a dime for telling you this, but I think you should order one right away. They're only like $20, too. It's got a funky name, too. You got to love it. It's called Kung Fu Smith, the Kung Fu Smith umbrella. I'm looking at mine right now. I've had this one for 3 years since going strong. And I've got a spare, too, just in case I happen to forget it at a restaurant or a park. Listen, I can't recommend this thing enough. It's just too well made. I mean, really, how many things can you say that about? Now, as an addendum to that story, you probably know most engineers are obsessed with gadgets. Some women are obsessed with shoes, some guys with watches or cars, rappers obsessed with gold teeth and ass-crack pants. Well, I gotta tell you, most engineers love tools and gadgets. And when I found out that just a couple months ago, a brand new telescoping defense umbrella hit the market, I just had to have one, even though it cost, get this, $250. What? $250? Hey, don't tell my mom. So then, what's it do besides deflect rain, and why do they call it a defense umbrella? And why is it $250? Well, that's best left to the imagination. Oh yeah, and batteries are not included. So about a month ago, it arrived. And it's everything they said it would be. Well, for $250, it better be. And now, no matter where I walk, the only thing I'm afraid of is forgetting it at a restaurant or on a park bench. That would be a tragedy. By the way, if you want one of these things, and man, what a conversation piece. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link. Though, for $250, I don't think I'll get many takers. But it's nice to know something like that's out there. Especially you guys living up there in Detroit, Chicago, New York, LA, San Francisco, Atlanta, any big city. Tell me one of these things wouldn't come in handy. By the way, it's totally legal and it's not a firearm. And you can carry it with you on an airplane because when X-rayed, it shows up just like a regular old umbrella. By the way, did you know you cannot take a full-sized umbrella on an airline, but you can take a shorty like this one? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. You never know who's listening. All right, now another email from a good friend of the show. He calls himself the 6-foot Pole. By the way, Mr. Pole's been living in Mexico, so let's hear what he has to say. He says, Johnny, thanks again for your water filtration setup diagrams. I already put it together in my rental. It was simple and quick to do it yourself from parts readily available in the local ferreteria, that's hardware store. I may or may not take it with me to my next rental here in Mexico, but that'll be in approximately 6 months. It's easy enough to build from scratch again. I did order the electronic descaler from Alibaba for under $40, and will be taking that unit with me just because it takes a long time to get here. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Pohl entitles his email, "One More Reason Not to Move to Mexico." And remember, he's writing this from Mexico. Then he says, "I left the States for good, and I'm not planning to go back. I don't know if I'll stay in Mexico, and I'm trying out different places, renting for 6 months at a time, as you repeatedly suggest on your show. I'm loving the Altiplano, but I want to try Chiapas next, and later Guatemala. Oh, and incidentally, Johnny, whatever you say about Mexico, it's still better than the States." Anyway, with this email, I have another request for you, on a different topic this time. I'm not a resident, and I'm currently using travel insurance for emergencies. Travel health insurance, that is. But I will apply for residency eventually, wherever I settle in for my plan B. I was talking to local gringos about medical options here in Mexico, and these seem way off the scale, too expensive. Way more than your Guatemalan insurance quotes. To prove it, I'm including some quotes, and I hope you can comment on the differences between Mexico and Guatemala medical costs, and maybe medical costs in different parts of Latin America. Then he says, "I've been running into many gringos who say they can't afford to buy medical insurance here in Mexico, so they live without any, keeping their fingers crossed that nothing bad or expensive will happen to them. With some gringos I know suggesting to have a slush fund for your own medical emergencies. The amounts vary, but a consensus of gringos has it that one should aim to put aside as much as $200,000 to $250,000. Wow, he says. Can you believe that? Then he says, "My immediate neighbors in their 70s now are paying $11,000 a year for two with $2,500 deductible." We're talking about medical insurance here in Mexico, too. Another gringo I know is paying almost 10 grand a year. He's a single guy, age 78. And I know a couple in their 40s who are paying $4,000 a year for both. Of course, premiums increased almost annually for all age groups, and certain pre-existing conditions won't buy you insurance for any money at all. As for actual treatments and surgery, I know about a month ago, a neighbor here paid $7,000 US for heart stents, and another gringo paid $6,000 for knee surgery. I know that might not mean much because we don't have the details on what was done, but I'm still young enough myself not to worry about medical issues. But I would love to hear what you think about that. Signed, The 6 Foot Pole in Mexico. All right, thanks for that, Mr. Pole. All good questions. Now, you probably haven't listened to all the shows I've done. I've been doing this 11 years now. And I guess maybe 8 years ago or so, I did a show where I talked about how Mexico having a border with the U.S. taints so many things, kind of creating a twisted sort of hybrid, including a sort of artificial price structure when it comes to professional services. In fact, I mentioned 8 years ago or so that dental costs in Mexico are twice as high, even more, than in any of the Latin countries south of the border. I also mentioned that back then, Mexico was the only Latin American country, and there's 20 of them, where I saw lawyers with 800 numbers advertising on TV like they do in the States. There's none of that south of the border. Well, I take that back. Costa Rican lawyers are doing that now, but Costa Rica is another hybrid gringoized country where first world prices prevail. The problem is, in Mexico, there are over 2 million first world gringos and expats who go down to Mexico either part-time and rent or are retired and live there permanently. That gringo effect jacks up all the prices, especially in the medium and large-sized cities. Even worse, in towns and cities close to the U.S. border, where gringos and expats pop over for dental and medical care, and they think they're getting such a good deal because it's half off or less than what they'd pay in the States, even though if they go south of the border, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Panama, Colombia, it'll be half or much less than half than what you'd be paying for professional services in Mexico. Now, this stuff is really fresh on my mind because just last week when I was doing the seminar, I spoke for about 4 hours on healthcare and health insurance. I went through a number of healthcare plans for gringos and expats, at least 5 or 6 different ones. And there wasn't a single full coverage plan for gringos and expats that was over $200 a month, with some very good and quite acceptable plans between $80 and $110 a month. We're talking about for the average 45 to 55-year-old male. Oh, and all these plans have amazingly low deductibles and copays. In fact, I went over a couple of actual bills from gringos who'd been to the emergency room under their plans with the total bill for an entire day at the emergency room, all the tests and all the fixings, coming in around $1,000. Now, In the States, an emergency room visit's surely going to cost you 10 times as much. 10 grand. Look it up. Look up the average emergency room visit for one day. 10 grand or so. Yet the two emergency room bills I highlighted, a grand. And after the insurance paid their portion, the gringo paid his co-payment, which was 40 bucks. So then you might ask, what about those deductibles? In the States, you got $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 deductibles. Well, down here in Latin America, it's a little bit different. With most plans, you go to their designated hospitals and clinics. They pay 100%. And if you go to one that's outside of the clinics and doctors, outside of their plan, they pay a flat 80 or 90%, depending on the plan you get. And your co-payment, 10 or 20% of the total cost. So most plans down here don't even have deductibles. They just have a copay. And zero copay if you use their designated clinics and doctors. Better yet, most insurance plans have a maximum yearly outlay. For example, suppose you end up in the hospital 10 times in 1 year. That's possible if you're old and decrepit. Well, most insurance plans have a $2,500 yearly maximum. So as soon as your accumulated copayments hit $2,500, you no longer pay. That means down here in Latin America, there's almost no chance if you have health insurance. Even if you have a chronic condition and have multiple hospital stays a year, you'll never even come close to being bankrupted by healthcare costs. Again, I'm talking about south of the border, the countries south of Mexico. The thing is, most healthcare plans down here have an age limit of 64. That's the enrollment date limit. However, after you're on the plan, you're good to age 99. So then what if you're over 64? Well, there are some insurance brokers that can get you in plans, but they're going to be more expensive, maybe twice as expensive than the normal plan you could get in if you're 64 or under. Could be $200, $300, even $400 a month. But if you're under 64, man, the plans are cheap, and you've got full coverage too. In fact, in an upcoming show, I'm going to give you the details on my own personal insurance plan and tell you a story on how my brother, you know, the one that was on 22 prescription medications and has had 3 or 4 knee and shoulder surgeries already, our stem cell guy. I'm going to tell you the story on how I got him on a very excellent Latin American healthcare plan. Even though we thought when he took the physical and got the blood test, he'd failed it miserably. For some reason, maybe it was part of the gringo advantage, they accepted him in the plan without disqualifying him for any pre-existing conditions. Stay tuned for that story. So then, what's his monthly payment? How about $80 a month? Would have been $100 a month, but if you pay a whole year in advance, you get 20% off. Latin America, you gotta love it. By the way, how's your plan be coming?
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.